In the name of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. I want you to take out your prayer book in front of you, or the one that you brought with you if you happen to be someone who brings one with you, and turn to page 858. This morning, and as you're looking at that, I just want to say we're hearing a lot about bread and this coming down from heaven, and then Jesus talks about, well, I'm going to give you the real bread, and we think, well, that sounds really great. And then he says that Jesus, we know, is what? The bread of life. So what is it that he gives us? Sounds great, right? When we walk out that door, what does it mean? We have no idea sometimes. So let's take a quick look at what's going on here, and I'm going to actually spend my time a little bit on Ephesians this morning. But I think it starts more appropriately, page 858, you see there in our catechism, holy baptism. What is holy baptism? Read with me. Holy baptism is a sacrament by which God adopts us as his children and makes us members of Christ's body, the church, and inheritors of the kingdom of God. Then we have to ask ourselves, well, how does that really come to fruition? How does that happen? And then we can hear a little bit in this letter to the church in Ephesus what that might mean. I, therefore, the prisoner in the Lord, beg you to lead a life worthy of the calling to which you have been called. This is what Paul's saying to the church. And reality is, how do we begin our calling? Well, we begin our calling in our baptism. That's what brings us into the body. That's what our own catechism just told us. Amen? So as we come into the body, we become followers of Jesus Christ, and those who are believers are the ones in which Jesus is going to equip for the ministry of the church. Amen? So we reflect a little bit on our baptism today. But then there's this problem. Now, I don't know if you're aware of this or not. You're going to want to back out. And I've been to churches where they do it different. My first parish, when I arrived, and my first baptism, by the way, was the very first day I celebrated the Mass as a priest. It helps when you come back to your own hometown and people who knew you are at your church and they have a new baby. I arrived that Sunday. And although there was this black onyx font in about the same position, when I arrived that Sunday, there was a table in front with this chrome-plated shell sitting on the table. And I said, well, what's that? And they said, well, that's where we do baptisms because nobody can see when you do it back there. And I said, well, just so you know, we're putting that away. And you can throw it away, you can give it to Goodwill, I don't care what you do with it, but you will never take it out as long as I'm your priest. That's a great first day, right? And then I explained to him, this font is here for a reason. We walked into here, we are reminded of our baptism, and then we enter into the place where the body of Christ gathers. This is our entrance into the body of Christ. Through our baptism. We just read that, right? In our own prayer book, amen? And that sounds spectacular, doesn't it? And we make it a thing. I mean, we create a scene. We parade back and forth a couple of times when we do a baptism. And everybody gets really excited, and as we should. And there's always this moment where we welcome the newly baptized, but we actually welcome them with a prayer. And I have to move through that really fast, otherwise everybody claps. It's like, no, though, the prayer matters. Why would it matter to have a prayer of somebody coming into the body of Christ? Have you ever been in the body? Well, yeah, if you're going to enter the body of Christ, you need prayer. Why? Because we're kind of a mess. I don't know if you noticed. It's not just you. If you're sitting there thinking, well, I'm a mess, I say, well, hey, join the club. And if you haven't joined the club through baptism, let me know. We can make that happen. We'll make it a thing. We even had to move it. After when we put cameras in. Most people never even notice that the font's about 3 feet closer to the altar than it used to be. You didn't know, did you? Well, there's one we got by. Because the camera didn't point that far down. We had to move it out to where the camera could see it, so when we live streamed a baptism, the people at home could see what we were doing, instead of just the tops of people's heads, or other people's heads, not necessarily. I would just be invisible. But the reality is, we come into this body of Christ, and this is what Paul's talking about. And why do we need prayers and ritual for that? Because people are taking a major step. Now, you want to become vulnerable, get engaged in the body of Christ. It's a scary place. I see vestry members are like this. Amen. Past vestry members, those who I just brought up some terrible wounds for. The reality is, it just is like that. But we'd like to pretend that everything's perfect, and then when we find out it's not, people get nervous. We're talking about the unity of the body, is what we're hearing in this first section of the reading today. I therefore, the prisoner in the Lord, beg you to lead a life worthy of the calling to which you have been called. You've been called into the body with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, making every effort to maintain the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. How are we doing? Yeah, I feel the same way. It's even worse, as I'm probably the reason why some people aren't in the body. I probably said or did something that sent somebody out. And I suspect most of us who've been in the body for any amount of time have either left it or said something to somebody that never came back. Here's reality, though. It happens. The question is, will we stay? Can we hear this? Making every effort to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit. Just as you were called to the one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all, through all, and in all. This is where we go wrong. We enter into a church. We enter into the body. And we are simultaneously building a relationship with Jesus Christ and with the body. Well, Jesus we can connect to occasionally, because that's when we think about it. The body we're connected to every single time we show up. And I've mentioned this to people before, especially when they're struggling with the church. I'd say you got to understand first, there is one body, one Spirit, just as you were called to the one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in all. If we get the order of our relationship messed up, I'm going to have a relationship with the church, and then I'm going to be engaged in all the time, and then once a week or so I'm going to engage with Jesus. You got to flip it. Jesus has to be number one. You build a relationship with Jesus Christ, it is a whole lot easier to be in the body, amen? Because remember who the head is. It's not that person who's in the middle of some messy part of their life who showed up on Sunday to try and connect with Jesus, and you said something to them, and they either ignored you or they responded in a way that you were offended, and you decided, I'm out of here. These people are supposed to be Christian. Yes, so are we. Each of us. Making every effort to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. But so quickly people can get offended and then they just leave. That's not what it's about. I'll make you a promise if you're new to the body or if you're just watching for the first time online wondering what church is about. you are going to be offended. Who here has ever been wounded by the church? If you haven't, you're either afraid to say so, or you need to stick around a little longer. It's going to happen. Why? Because we're not the head. We're the body. But we're to live a life worthy of the call. The call is to be in the body, with Jesus as the head. Not us. Man, we don't want to be in charge of this. Jesus needs to be in charge of this, which means he needs to be in charge of each one of us. That's how we live into it. That's how all these wonderful things falling down from heaven, Jesus pouring out upon us all the things that will make it possible. It's for us to grow in our faith and maturity. So at some point, we have to recognize that perhaps someone else has just had a really bad day, and they said something, and it may have offended us. And then we should ask ourselves, why am I offended? And maybe offer that incredible level of grace that has been given us by the head. So as a member of the body, we are representative of him, so that we can maintain the unity. And there's a uniqueness of this unity in that we are all very different. And that makes it even more difficult to stay together, doesn't it? But each of us was given grace according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore it is said, when he ascended on high, he made captivity itself a captive. He gave gifts to his people. When it says he ascended, what does it mean? But that he had also descended into the lower parts of the earth. He who descended is the same one who ascended far above all the heavens, so that he might fill all things. Now, you can literally spend a lifetime digging that little portion apart. And there's probably three different understandings of what it really means, but let me just give you the simple man's version. This one who gives the gifts has authority to give the gifts because he has authority over everything, seen and unseen. So where he ascended to, descended to, and whom is really not the point. The point is he did, and there is no one else who can. So the gifts he gives are the gifts that are being poured out on us. They're our manna. They are the bread that brings life to the body. So we accept them, I would hope. And the diversity of the gifts are his decision, not ours. But the reality is, it gives value to each member, whether we like the member or not. Each member has a part in the body. This is something the church has struggled with greatly. You may have noticed on your drive here this morning that there's more than one church. There's more than one denomination. I don't even think we know how many denominations there are anymore. And we are forming new ones every day. But you know what the problem is with the way in which we are currently forming denominations and the way we always have? It's because we got upset with the body. So we created our own body. We used to just be the church. And then we became the East and the West after the Council of Nicaea because we couldn't agree on some wording. And then if you want to freak everybody else out who's in the West, let them know that they came away at some point. Their roots tied to Roman Catholicism. That freaks people out. They go, I'm not Catholic, I'm Protestant. Let me say that word the way that you should hear it. They're not Protestant. We're not Protestant. We're Protestants. We are protesting against what the church was. And there's times when we should, by the way, Why? Because the church is run by us, and we are on occasion going to get it wrong. So the body should say, hold on, that doesn't seem quite right. And we should be using our gifts to do these things, and we can call it back to reform. To reform. But the key is, are we hearing the teaching to live to the fullness worthy of the calling to which you've been called, with all humility, gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, making every effort to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace? Anything other than that is really not worthy of the call of being in the body. And I know it's hard. And it makes us have to stand in the middle of things that sometimes are uncomfortable at best, painful at worst, but always within the truth of the calling, and we're called to live a life worthy of that. It's hard work being the church, brothers and sisters. We all have our gifts. They're for one purpose, to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until all of us come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to maturity, to the measure of the full stature of Christ. And let's stop for just a moment. And I want you to look around this room. Little crosses all the way around this room. How many? 14. What do we call them? This is the head of the body making the journey to the cross. So when you get into the body, if you think it's going to be easy, I'm not sure what would make you think that to be true. It's not supposed to be. It's not supposed to be easy. It's supposed to be transforming. It's supposed to be loving the Lord your God with all your heart, all your mind, and all your soul, and loving your neighbor as yourself. That is hard, because we're all different. We all behave differently. We say things, and sometimes we behave really well, and sometimes we behave very badly. But the reasoning that we do is because we are in our fallen, broken humanness, and we only know that our success in any way beyond that is through the very grace of God, which has fallen upon us as individuals and as members of the body. He is teaching us today to allow that grace to pour from us onto others. It is easy to offer grace to the ones we know and love. It is difficult to offer grace to the person who is standing right in front of you and accusing you of something that may or not even be true. It is hard to offer grace to that person who is insulting you. Maybe with good reason, maybe not. And then we have to say, well, what would the head of this body that I'm part of do? And the answer is pretty simple. What did he do for you when you were like that? What does he continue to do for you when you get like that? And when we have that experience as a member of the body, we turn to that person and we say, I'm here for you. I am called to live a life worthy of being a member of the body of Christ. So in this moment, I'm going to grow up. And I'm going to strive to mature to the measure of the full stature of Christ. Because this body being together is more important than how I'm feeling in this moment. This is the life we are called to. But speaking the truth in love, we must grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body is joined and knit together by every ligament with which it is equipped, as each part is working properly, promotes the body's growth in building itself up in love. That's why it hurts so bad. We are literally knit together. That's why people speak of being wounded by the church. We're wounded by the church because we are the church. It hurts, but it can heal. If I went home this afternoon and I cut my finger, it would hurt. I wouldn't cut it off and throw it away. I would nurture it and I would heal it to the best of my ability and pray for the Lord to heal it. We pray for the healing of members of this body all the time, as long as we understand the illness. How often do we pray for the healing of the body in emotion and attitude? Shouldn't we want to heal that too, so that we can be together as the call that we have states that we should? This is the life we are called to. Church, this is our purpose. To be one body, Christ is the head, to grow into the full stature of Christ, so that he will be glorified.